Welcome to the Tennis Pulse. The heartbeat of tennis is here. We are an exciting tennis show serving up fresh voices, bold insights, and we promise a lot of fun. Today on the Tennis Pulse, Zani Suttle leads our talk where we shine light on the most up-and-coming players on the rise. Feel the heartbeat of tennis with your hosts and tennis fans, Lindy Way Suttle Mulla Vestenhagen, Federica Fenari, William Van Mossenon, and our Tennis Pulse expert, Charlie Stieb. The Tennis Pulse starts now.
Yeah.
Let's get started. Who wants to get started? I'll start. Anyway, so my choice is a WTA player called, her name is Diana Schneider. She is 20 years old from Russia. Lefty, big serve, huge forehand. She turned pro last year. She played for NC State University as a college player, and she's just showing a lot of promise. I'll just give some quick notable notes. She had four titles in 2024, beating top players like Donna Vekic, made the fourth round at the US Open. She lost to Pegula. She rose from outside the top 60, landing a year-end ranking at number 12, which is super impressive, just starting last year as a pro. She earned a silver medal at the Olympics in doubles with Mira Andreeva. And her achievements, which I thought was very interesting, tied with Aryna Sabalenka, who's currently world number one, for titles and trailed only Iga's, Swiatek's five titles this year. Bravo. So super impressive.
Amazing.
Watch out for her. She's the cute little power package that wears the bandanas.
I love her bandana game.
Polka dots.
Yes. What's the story behind this bandana?
So apparently she used to wear them in juniors, and it started because her mother she couldn't find anything that like was comfortable because she didn't like the hats and the visor. She said she couldn't really see the ball apparently. And so her mom found a bandana in a shop, and so she tried it on, and then it just became like a thing for her. She sources materials. She gets them custom made to kind of fit her head. But I love it because she travels with them with all her tournaments, and
that's
then she matches with her outfit, which is really cool.
So it's amazing.
I love her. She's so cool.
Going back to our court couture, what about a sponsorship of bandanas with like a high end? I mean, I don't know about the fit and keeping it on. You know, it can't be like an Hermes, like, you know, silk scarf, but like that would be a good collaboration.
Yeah, she's a good one. Watch out for her. She's coming in hot next year.
She beat what, Goff? Kerber, Badoza also,
Vekic, Sasanovic, Katie Butler as well, who's a number one UK player.
Yeah, the final?
She's really good.
Yeah. Four titles this year. It's incredible.
So. Doubles part. What about Mira?
And
Mira Andreeva. I mean, we have to also put her on this list as well.
Yeah,
17
absolutely.
Years old. This is incredible. And like the jump that she's done in her ranking, what is she now? 16. She was out of the top 50. Mm-hmm. She's now 16. Coached by Conchita Martinez.
Conchita.
We love you.
Why do you like Conchita so much?
Just because of the past. She's the past history for me. This is when I watched tennis.
Gabriela Sabatini. You know?
Conchita Martinez.
Those
were Sanchez. This was like my
teenagers.
Time.
Teenagers.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah. My generation.
This is why I fell in love with tennis. These players are
They work well together, though. Yeah. She really calms her down, honestly. And like,
she's an amazing.
What I loved about recently by her, one of her matches was against Dasha.
Dasha.
And she was crying, and like Conchita, she was like, you know, calm her down. Like, was just like, you got this. Don't worry. Oh, your time will come. Your time will come. And, like, I love that.
Yeah, she's
her.
Very emotional.
She's very But the dynamics of it, she was really good though for the coaching.
Yeah.
That was Muguruza's old coach, actually.
Yeah, she was.
She coached Muguruza, which was really nice. So, I love Muguruza.
I just have to say some of her stats, too, because it's pretty impressive. Her win-loss record is 70-25 since the start of 2023.
Wow.
Meaning she won close to 75% of her matches.
Insane.
That's incredible. That's powerful. And she's 17. What else was something? She reached the Grand Slam of the semifinals at Roland Garros. And she's 17.
Wow.
Yeah, it's impressive. That moment too for me was like such a tender moment in tennis. It was like, because for me too, I'm so emotional all the time. And like, she just couldn't control herself. And she really tried to like compose herself. And then she just Dasha went there and just gave her a hug.
Yeah.
I love moments like this.
They're good friends too. I love seeing them on the vlogs as well too.
Yeah.
They're super sweet together.
It's nice seeing it on the WTA tour as well. You know,
good camaraderie.
There's a lot of
camaraderie.
We need that. Some
because we have this, you know, women have this perception world, this illusion of not like supporting each other. So that was for me a great moment.
Yeah.
Well, on the same age group, actually, my pick is João Fonseca.
Oh.
Is this Brazilian very talented, super young player that just turned 18, I think, and rise from number 700 in the world to 145 this
That's
year.
That's amazing. Wow.
And they made it to the next gen this year.
Next gen finals.
So I'm very excited to see him there, you know, playing against all the other top players. I think he had an incredible career, don't you think?
He's very promising. I saw a couple of matches and he's one of the guys I would pick from the next gen who could, like a feast, you know, the same age. They could be, he can move very quick up to the top 100. Let's see.
I saw him winning in Rio this year. And beating Arthur Fields. But I mean, it really had an incredible run there. Mm. And I love his story. He started playing when he was 4 years old in his backyard in Ipanema. I thought he's cool. Very, very mature for his age, which I think it's, impressive. He actually said, I'm so mature because the sport taught me so. Which is true. This sport really makes you grow up much faster. Mm. Yeah.
Charlie, how old were you when you started traveling on tour alone?
Traveling, I mean, you start as a junior already, but after school, when I was 16.
Outside of Germany, like going out to, where was the first?
My first ATP point I made in Argentina.
Oh, wow.
That's a far way.
Buenos Aires?
In Buenos Aires. It's called the Futures now, at our time called Satellite. It was always four tournaments and the Masters. So I had to play pre-qualies, three rounds, then qualifying. And then because I had no points and they let me play, I was happy. I entered. They could have said, well, you're not getting qualies, could have sent me home. But then I made my first point after 5 weeks. You have to qualify for the Masters to make points. And yeah, and then if you have the first point, then you can play. You can enter the tournament, you know, you're getting in, but that's always a big step.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was Argentina.
Would someone back in the day have called you an emerging ace as well, or on the rise star?
I don't think so, because I was a little bit always in the shed. At that time, Boris already, you know, went to Wimbledon fourth round when he was 16, 17. So I played juniors in Wimbledon, and he already
in the main draw.
So I was a bit in the shadow. I think talking about men's, we have to mention Humbert.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 14 talented. In the world and he has a big game.
Yeah.
Pericard, of course, and another 19-year-old Menzik. He's in the top 50 now.
Yeah.
And also, I would mention these three players as the rising players from this year.
Mm.
Especially Humbert. I mean, he had a great season.
He did.
Especially, you know, French, they have a lot of players.
Yeah, they always, in as
always have great talents and players coming up.
Especially this era, yeah. My pick would go out to Lulu's son. She's a New Zealander player. She came through the qualies of Wimbledon this year. I think she goes like outside of 200 before she started.
Yep.
And she's currently now like about 41.
Hmm.
But she played the qualies, which means like you play three matches to enter to a big Grand Slam. And she knocked out Quinn Wen in the first round.
That was cool.
And she also knocked out Emma Raducanu. In the round of 16, and she lost in the quarters to Donna Vekic, which also was like three sets. But can you imagine playing seven matches? That's a lot.
Yeah.
And most players only play like what, four?
Yeah.
Even if you get through that as well.
Yeah,
but
she
amazing player. She's also a lefty, which is insane. I don't know why. I guess I love my lefty.
Me
lefties,
too.
Yeah. Huh?
Lefty.
There's so many lefties, but I can't get that serve back in. I hate the lefties.
Yes.
But she's also, what made her game so strong at Wimbledon was she was always at the net. She finished the net.
I
love seeing that.
I don't know why, but I mean, I don't think most players do because I'm a grinder. Like I like to be on the baseline. But, you know, my coaches are always pushing me to go to the net. I'm like, I hate it. But
yeah.
I admire anyone who's always finishing the net because I wish I had that.
Especially in women's tennis.
Yes. Very much so.
They don't use it too much and they should much more.
Yeah.
The game became much faster. So really, that's why, for example, even in doubles, they stay back sometimes because the return game improved so much. So it's harder and harder to play serve and volley. But I would love to see it more in men's and in tennis, of course. Yeah. You have serve and volley players mixing it up, but yeah. you don't see the classic, you know, in our times, Petr yeah. Rafter, Stefan Edberg. You know, then you knew first, second serve, they're coming
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Mm.
That's almost not possible anymore because the return game is so strong.
yeah, yeah. Like, that's so true.
For sure.
I mean, my dad taught me serve and volleying because he wanted to differentiate me from the other players growing up in juniors. And but I got it wrong. I serve and volleyed every single point. So I was just like, serve, first serve, second serve. I was like running the net. He's like, no, don't do it like that.
But so in no juniors, tactics. In juniors, it's almost impossible because it's so easy to lob. I mean, if you are really yeah. short at yeah. that time, you go to the net. You, I mean, it's, you're losing the point.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I hear that.
8 out of 10, even if it would be right. So it's tough to learn it because at the beginning you want to win and you're not winning as a junior by playing a serve and volley.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that's hard to implement it in your game.
Awesome. Do we know how old Lulu is?
She's 24. Huh?
And I know that she's recovering from, like, is it hip and back? Is she yeah. is she better, you
I mean,
know?
She played a lot of tournaments this year. She also was a finalist at Monterey in Mexico. She lost that one in the 500. But then she also withdrew from Hong Kong because yeah. of injuries.
Yeah.
But she, I mean, she's amazing to come out of 200 to 41 and have that run. All you need is one good run to make it like top 100.
Yeah.
She's from New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah. that's right.
First yeah. New Zealander to make
Swiss
it
New
to
Zealand.
The quarters.
Also went to Texas A&M.
Oh, really?
Collegiate years, yeah.
What do we think about all these young mm-hmm. players like Joao, for example, that just dropped college now to go on pro tour?
What do you mean if it's the right
is
way?
Is it the yeah, right way? Is yeah. the right event? Do well, they have an advantage or not disadvantage?
I think you. I think you. That comes very naturally. If you're going to college and compete there and winning most of the things, which I assume, then it makes sense to turn pro. I think that's and the coaches they know the levels of the tour. They know how developed he is with his game, with his physics. Sometimes it's better to wait another year, but for some guys it makes sense not go to college at all because they're ready.
So talented. Yeah.
But I think the coaches have a responsibility there to really, you know, see in which stage the player is. The good thing is right now, I believe, that the time to break into the top 100, it's later than at our time. So the players really can go through college. Sure. And even turn pro afterwards.
Mm.
So that's a great thing because, you know, only a few players make it. So it's great to have the education first. And you can even still be a pro afterwards.
Yeah.
I have a great story as well. I remember on tour, Naomi and Iga were actually really close in the beginning. I mean, they're sure they still are. But Iga looked to Naomi for advice because Iga wasn't sure if she wanted to go to college before she turned pro.
Mm.
And she opted to go pro and she made it. She did really well. There was a time that, you know, when Naomi was about to leave because she had pregnant as well too. But Iga was contemplating that.
Wow.
This decision. But look what happened now. She killed it.
Yeah.
She's doing really so amazing. Good.
Yeah, because Joao signed up for Virginia University, but then they made
great
this
program.
Decision to go pro. And it's a big one, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
sure.
it's really like one of those sliding door moments.
For sure.
I think.
Yeah.
One that I have to mention also is Flavio
Cobolli,
yeah.
my fellow Italian.
Italian.
Yes.
Forza.
He moved up from 101 to 32, 69 positions, which is credible. And what I loved, because when I was doing a little research about him and just finding out more about him, he says, I'm a guy with a big dream. I want people to know my name when I stop playing. So I want to be an important player, of course, on court, but also outside. I want always to be smiling and always try to have fun with the sport. So, of course, I want to win a big tournament and, yeah, be a good player with a good ranking. But the first thing is for people to know about me after my career. Oh, so he's like, you know.
You know, he's an incredible football player, actually.
Really?
Yeah, he was super, super talented. I don't remember, I don't know what the switch was, but yeah, and he's still a big supporter of Roma. That's the club that he supports.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
At the moment.
The moment.
At the moment.
Not doing good.
Yeah.
This is so exciting. I mean, there are numerous players that we could mention. I mean, it goes on and on because there's actually so many at so many different levels too, you know?
I think also one of his peak moments was at the Laver Cup when we saw him there. Although he didn't play, but I think it felt like such a belonging, you know, being there with all the top players.
Being mentored,
and being the same team. Yeah. I think it was a sweet moment. Yeah, I was definitely cheering for him just because he was there, you know?
That's cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's why I love about tennis as well, too. There's so many new people coming in and coming out as well, too. It's like, it's finally a new, fresh take on men's and women's as well, too, for these players.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's been like such a domination in men's tennis for a long time, and women's as well, too. So I'm excited for the new generation to come in.
Yeah. I mean, let's see what happens with the players that we talked about and the other players that are on the rise. This has been the Tennis Pulse on the Rise. Thank you for watching.